Accession number 14963, Reel 5.
Mr. Wakeman, Reel 5. So how effective were your attacks on the V-weapon sites, do you think?
Well, I think they were effective. We didn't get any good reports from them, though the resistance did send in reports. But the fact was that the meteor, as I started to say earlier, came into being about that time, and that was the match for the V2s, the V1s rather, and they took over virtually. And of course, by the time we were doing, I don't think, if I'm honest about it, we were too effective, because we could smother the rocket sites, but then with bombs, but then they had big underground storage things, and we might smash their pylons, that whatever they call them, that held the rockets, but they had transporters that they fired them from. So though we could keep them in check, it would have been far worse if we hadn't have done that. But when the army moved up, that was the real answer. They took over the sites.
How relieved or otherwise did you feel at the end of your tour of duty with Bomber Command?
I think I was ready for a break. I was ready for a break. I went on to transport command, in long-range transport. But I think I was ready for a break at the end. But I wouldn't say I was relieved, because the squadron, it was so, I don't know, everything was so, you were so together. It was so much togetherness. You're all one. That was it. And
do you have any VE Day memory of your own? Any personal memory of that day in May 1945?
Yes. VE Day. Yes, I was on transport command then. We were trooping. Trooping out to India and Ceylon. And out, the war was actually still on, as you say. And the day before VE Day, I was at Moripur on the way home. I remember going, I was flying Yorks on 511 Squadron from Larnham. And I remember seeing in the mess at Moripur footprints going right up the wall, all black painted, right across the ceiling, down the other side and out the door. There'd been one devil of a party the night before. And somebody had held this character up with oil on his boots or shoes, whatever it was, while he walked over up the wall and down the scene, down the other side. He was going home. And that struck me. That was the day before VE Day. VE Day, I went on from there, and my next stop was Shiber. Well, I don't know if you know Shiber. You go, it's in the Persian Gulf, about 30 miles from Basra. Oh, if there's a dump to sit out on VE Day, it was Shiber. It was a sun-baked, earthen, flat for miles and miles with nothing, just nothing. And I went there, and I thought, just a refueling stop, this. It was not to be, though. That aeroplane went US, so we got an oil leak. I had to spend the night there. And I remember in the mess, in a transit mess there, I think we were the only aeroplane that was stuck there. And the barman, we had some beer, and the beer, I remember this, was served up. The glasses were bottles that had been filled with oil up to the length of about a pint glass, and a red-hot poker put in the oil, and the glass cracked around the bottles, and the top knocked off, and that was it. That was the glasses. The Iraqis were pinching all the glassware we had, and all the silver and what have you, anything that was in the mess. The workers there were swiping it. And so these were the glasses we were using. And I can remember that fair enough, because we drank beer from this, about my crew, about four of us in a crew, and I suppose two or three other engineers and things, supping up there, thinking it was VE Day, but it didn't feel a bit like it. But as far as we could celebrate, it was a few beers in broken bottles.
And VJ Day, any memory of that?
Oh, VJ Day, yes. I was still trooping. I was on Liberators then, 53 and 59 Squadron, flying back to from India, bringing the troops home. Same business, but this time I was on leave. And I can remember that well enough. It was was in Gravesend, and I'd met a fellow there who I knew before the war at school. And he'd been in the army. He was in the tanks in the Western Desert, up through Italy. And he'd been brought home then. He'd fought the way right along the North African coast, up through Italy, into Germany. And we met up and had a drink in High Street Gravesend, a little pub down there. And though we'd heard about the atomic bombs and things like that, but the Japs hadn't given in. And we were drinking in there, and suddenly over the... There was about five or six of us in there, and they came over the news that Japanese had surrendered. And in no time flat, that little pub was bursting at the seams. We never bought another drink. We were in uniform, and so there were sailors in there, soldiers and airmen. Never bought another drink, civilians. The landlord opened everything up, and there was singing in the streets. We went outside, and a clock tower at Gravesend seemed to be the hub for all these sort of celebrations. Whether it was Regatta night or New Year's Eve, everybody went to the clock tower. And we went up there, and people were bringing crates of beer up there, and the piano accordions, and people were singing. There was almost like a choir there, singing, with dancing. They've got drums up there, and the piano accordions, dancing in the street, drinking. It was a fantastic night altogether. Somebody else was bringing food out, and we packed it up about 3 o'clock in the morning, went home to bed, had enough of that. But that was VJ Day. Yes, I remember that very well, in the lucid moments at least.
What do you think about the various attacks which have been made on the work of Bomber Command during the war in recent years?
Yes, yeah, Dresden, I suppose you mean, yes. I've thought that this is so much by people looking with hindsight who never felt the other end of the war, never felt the sharp end of the war, both from the Germans and from ourselves. And they've made up stories to satisfy what they consider the real answers, but they don't know. And I think it's a load of rubbish. In fact, this Dresden business has been coming up lately just sickens me, because I was not on Dresden. I was on transport at that time, obviously. But I tell you this, if I had been on Dresden, there'd have been no question about me going. I'd had no compunction. I'd have gone. Dresden was another target. It's no good them talking about it being such a beautiful town, such an old town. There was nothing there. I can still remember Bath, Bristol, Hull, London, Rotterdam, Warsaw. I can remember those places that were sacred. I can remember the rockets coming over, and the V1s. No, I think they're not misled. I think they're people deliberately destructive and rather anti-establishment, I suppose, because they think that we were some form of elite force. We were nothing of the sort. We were ordinary working people and the people who had far more beneficial situations in life than we had, joining in, and we were all one group together, doing as we were told, doing as we had to do, because if we didn't stop this business, this nonsense, Germany wouldn't pack up. Anyway, they all had one thing, but they overlook. If the Germans were going to squeal about this, and we knew it at the time, not necessarily there, but the Ruhr as well, they were going to squeal, and they could always call a halt if they didn't like it. All they had to do was to put the white flag up and call it off. And if they didn't like it, but they wouldn't have given us that chance. Oh, no. They had had us earmarked for labour camps. They had earmarked the women of this country for their brothels and for their pleasure for their troops. Oh, they told us this. They broadcast it. They knew what they were going to do. So they had the answer. They could have stopped it. But Dresden in particular, the Russian army was advancing westwards, and Dresden was going to be a town, southwest was going to be a town they'd have to take. Those all the Americans coming forward would have to take it. It was part of the war zone, and that was it. It was a railhead too, and nobody bothers to mention there was a marshalling yard full of troops coming up to reinforce the German army, tanks, guns, you name it, it was there. And it was a communication centre to German Army headquarters. Yes, they overlook all that. All they're concerned about is the firestorm. Well, a firestorm could happen anywhere. It happened in the London docks in 1941. It happened in Hamburg, happened in Duisburg. But this time, they were wooden old buildings and they suffered. In fact, they got what was coming to them, if you really want to know. And I had no compunction about that.